WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Jeff Goldblum's screen roles have ranged from a People magazine reporter in The Big Chill to a rock critic in Between the Lines. He was a rapist in Death Wish, a biker magician in Nashville, and he had a small part in Woody Allen's film Annie Hall as a man who forgot his mantra. Goldblum gained the greatest attention and critical praise in David Cronenberg's remake of The Fly. Goldblum starred as a scientist who turns into an insect. In Goldblum's new comedy, The Tall Guy, he plays the straight man to an egomaniacal British comic. After the comic fires him, he's cast as the Elephant Man in an absurd musical version of the play. Goldblum doesn't have a singing role, but I asked him if he could sing an excerpt of one of the songs.
I know the finale goes, I'm John Merrick, you know, except I've got the makeup is a little more elephantine and I've got a big ear and kind of a little bit of a trunk, and I'm in bed in the hospital and I finally die away in and the chorus sings, up soars his soul, fleeing this world of tears. Somewhere up in heaven, there's an angel with big ears. An angel with big ears. Da 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 da. Curtain, you know, like that.
That's really wonderful. You don't remember any of Mr. Disgusting, do you?
Oh, let me see. Roll up, roll up. The tent is busting. Here he comes, Mr. Disgusting. It's, you know, like the beginning at when the Elephant Man was in that carnival, you know. That's it.
That's really great. You know, I think the movies that I know you best in have a lot to do with ego. For instance, in Between the Lines, you're really arrogant. In The Big Chill, you're really arrogant. In The Fly, you're kind of arrogant in the first half. You have kind of low self-esteem in the new film, The Tall Guy. Is ego something you feel you can really understand, both sides of it, the insecure side and the arrogant side?
Yes, I can, yeah. I don't usually talk about it in terms of ego, but yeah, I mean, I know what low self-esteem difficulties are, you know, and I know about feeling exultant and, you know, I'll tell you, there's something, and it's kind of mournful, there's something in my character at this point that I think was passed on through a troubling childhood in some ways, as long as you're asking about this stuff, that's competitive, sometimes unnecessarily competitive. So I either feel, you know, less than somebody or better than somebody. It's difficult, but I'm trying to control it and feel good about myself.
What was high school like for you when you were young?
Oh, high school. Well, you know, I had some uncomfortable years in there. You know, I felt like I was happy and very kind of extroverted up until like seventh grade. I just loved life and nature, and I was already flirtatious, and it was just great. Then, I don't know, between seventh and tenth grades, I started to have this deep need for some larger life and some realer form of expression, because I wasn't getting it in high school, and at least I wasn't turning it into a place where I could shine, you know, and I felt kind of isolated.
You gave a great performance in the movie The Fly, which was directed by David Cronenberg. And you play a scientist who accidentally crosses his chromosomes with those of a fly during an experiment. And I want to play a scene from shortly after the experiment. You're changing, but you really think that you're changing for the better, and you're very excited about it. You don't realize you're actually changing into a fly. You're having a cup of coffee, and you're talking about how great you feel and how excited you are as you keep putting more and more sugar in your coffee and getting more and more manic.
I'm beginning to think that the sheer process of being taken apart atom by atom and put back together again, why, it's like coffee being put through a filter. It's somehow a purifying process. It's purified me. It's cleansed me. And I'll tell you, I think it's going to allow me to realize the personal potential I've been neglecting all these years, that I've been obsessively pursuing goal after goal. You know, I just don't think I've ever given me a chance to be me. But, of course, interestingly, at the exact same moment that I achieved what will probably prove to be my life's work, that's the moment when I started being the real me, finally. I mean, what an accomplishment. But what have I really done, though? All I've done is say to the world, let's go, move, catch me if you can. Waiter.
I really love that scene. You almost start to sound like Irwin Corey, Professor Irwin Corey, in the middle of it, because you're just talking so quickly and it's not meaning anything. Is any of that ad-libbed?
I'll tell you, half of it is, I could tell you where, but it's somewhere around half or a third or two-thirds, is scripted and then dotted. And I kept thinking as I studied the script before, I know we're going to come to that scene and we're going to go on, because it's as if, you know, the script implies I kind of go on. I should know what else I'm going to say. And nothing came to me till the day before, the night before, I think. And I just sat there and wrote kind of the second half of that out. And then the next day didn't really even tell him about it, but said, okay, let's shoot it. And I just kept going like that, kept going. And so a lot of that's mine.
Yeah. Can you describe a little bit what kind of prosthetics and makeup you had to wear during the latter parts of The Fly when you were more fully metamorphosized?
What it was in the final stages, it took like 5 hours in the morning to do. It was a suit that was all, you know, that I'd had made from a mold of me, and that was all built up and, of course, colored and you know, harried up and stuff, that was from my neck to my ankles. That was very difficult to put on, very hot, and then they'd attach some feet to that and glue those on and then paint the seams to blend it in. And then on my head there was there was a big collar piece, and then there was a face piece, and then a big cauliflower head piece, and they'd glue it on, and then blend it all in, and it took about 5 hours.
The director of The Fly, David Cronenberg, almost uses the metamorphosis into a fly as a metaphor for terminal illness, and you end up looking very diseased toward the end of the movie. And I was wondering if it was ever disturbing to look at yourself in the mirror with the makeup on.
Yeah, you know, the whole movie was disturbing. I mean, I did have to come to grips with dying, and so, you know, I try to act, and the kind of acting I like, I know I like to see, is the kind where the actor, you know, has some real experience of the part and lives it through. So in some ways, I knew I wanted to, you know, go through that sad experience of getting a disease and dying and losing the person I love, and just when all my work is working out. And so it was disturbing, yeah. And so I would try to look in the mirror and feel that it was real, and it was disturbing. I it would be more disturbing if I were really dying. I wouldn't want to die.
The first film, I'm not sure there's one of the first films that you were in was Death Wish with Charles Bronson.
Right, that's right.
And you were one of the, was it delivery boys who rapes Bronson's wife?
Exactly.
This is the whole setup for the whole Death Wish theme, the whole revenge theme. It's been years. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say we kill his wife and rape his daughter. That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I haven't seen it since it came out. What are your memories of that scene, of shooting that scene?
Oh, it was a brutal scene. It was the first movie I ever auditioned for. I was thrilled to have it, and you know, it had a lot of rage in it, so I remember sort of, you know, relishing that in a certain way. And Michael Winner, the director, I was coming up the stairs in one shot, and I think the first thing we did, and we started to rehearse it, and he, just for camera, he yelled at the top of his lungs, "Goldblum, start acting now!" He was English, you know, and that's about all the direction he gave me, so it was disturbing, but I enjoyed the part.
You have played opposite Gina Davis, who is also your wife. Are you married?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, your wife. Yeah. Is it easier
to star opposite somebody in a film when it's your wife? Or does that add certain difficulties?
Oh, I don't know that there's a rule about it, but with me and Gina, with Gina and I, it's been great. I mean, the Fly, you know, we weren't married when we did that, and we were living together, but doing that together allowed us to discover each other in a whole new way and discover that we worked well together, and it was great to be passionate about this thing outside of ourselves. It was really fun, and then Earth Girls Are Easy, you know, was just kind of fun and light, so there's no rule about it. Our relationship is constantly kind of changed and is changing, so it could be easy or hard depending on the time and the project.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thanks very much.
Jeff Goldblum's new comedy, The Tall Guy, just opened in 27 cities. It opens in more cities on October 5th.